Acts chapter 28 this morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. And I appreciate camp meeting. What a blessing that it is. And I've been praying this meeting, asking the Lord to help. And you pray for me this morning. The Lord knows our needs. And Acts chapter 28 is where we're at today. I'll give you just a moment to get there. Acts chapter 28 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain, because of the cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." Lord, thank you for the privilege this morning, God, into myself. Help me this morning, God, to just bring honor and glory to your name. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The story, of course, here, Paul is on his way to Rome. And he's giving them a warning. If you look back in Acts chapter 27, verses 9 through 11, he tells them we shouldn't be going. There's going to be great harm. It's going to come to the ship and to the people. Of course, they chose the centurion and said, "I know, we're going to listen to man and the wisdom of the captain of the boat, and we're going to head on out." Well, lo and behold, we find out they get in a major storm. Trouble comes. They're in danger. They're having major trouble in their life. And I thought to myself as I read that, and I just wonder how many times we've sat underneath the preaching of the Word of God, getting a warning from God, being told of God, from the man of God, yet we've ignored what he said, and we got into a storm of our life. Some problem, some trouble come our way because of our disobedience to God and God's Word this morning. So move on, and that's the last time you hear anything from Paul on the ship. Until they're at wit's end. They're already strapped on the boat. They're done. They're ready to just cash it in. They're ready to toss the prisoners overboard so they won't none escape. Then hear from Paul again. In chapter 27, verses 21 through 25, he tells them to be of good cheer. He said, "I've got a word from God. There ain't nobody going to be lost." He said, "We're going to lose the ship, lose everything in it, but no man is going to be lost." So they listened to Paul this time, thank the Lord. And you read over in the last part of chapter 27, you realize they all made it to the shore. They some swam, some on boards, but they've all made it there to the shore, the island of Melita. In chapter 27, verse 37, we find there's 276 people that are on board that ship. 276 people has found their way off of the ship on the island of Melita. If you remember, they pulled up their anchors. They drove right into the banks there. The front end got lodged. The back end broke off. And here they are in a mess. And even verse 2, even after they hit the shore, in verse 2 tells us that there was a present rain and it was cold outside. I got to thinking about that and just wondering how many times we come in contact with people who've been in a storm. Yeah, amen. How many of our preachers that are here this week are going to come back into their church services on Sunday and they're going to meet people who've been in a storm? Yeah. They're cold and they're wet, yeah, needing help from the Lord. How many times we come in contact with men and women out and about where we're at in our communities and where we live at? And they're cold and wet without the Lord and having help and no hope. And they're needing something from God. We find these folks are in turmoil. No doubt they're no doubt in stress in their life and not knowing what's happened. They're landing on some island called Melita. If I could this morning, my key verse, if you would. And they lay the Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. I want to preach on this thought, if the Lord helped me this morning, the importance of keeping the fire going. On the importance of keeping the fire going this morning, man. We find out that first of all, they land in verse number 1. It was a place of visitation. They land in a place called the Island of Melita. This is a place of refuge. It's a Canaanite word which literally means a refuge. Paul and these 275 others that have landed this island have landed in a place of shelter, a place of retreat, a place of safety. I got to thinking about that this morning, and as we look at that, and how many times do folks come? As many of you have been in the first time of camp meeting, and I'm glad you're here this week. Man alive, I hope this has been a place of refuge for Lord you. Place of safety, a place to retreat, a place to get help from God. But folks are going to come to our churches on Sunday. They're going to need help from God. They're going to need somebody to be able to help them along life's journey. They didn't know when they come to the house of God, it's a place that you can come in and it's safe and it's comfortable because God shows up in the midst and God makes them feel welcome. Well, listen, they're not going to get that unless the people of God show them the peace that's there in the house of the Lord. So the church needs to be this place of refuge there that we find, that they find the island of Melita. We see this morning. It was a place of refuge. It's a place of kindness. We find verse number 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Now, the word barbarous, it's not what we think in our world today. Those of you that are as old as I am, remember the barbarians from the wrestling world. It's not that type of people. Barbarous people, there to them was anybody outside of the Greek. There's a few that remember them. Amen. All right. Amen, Brother Charles. I'm with you on that. All right. Anyway, that's not who they were. Anybody who did not speak the Greek language was considered a barbarian. So these aren't wild, wicked people. They're just separate, different. They don't speak the same language as the Greeks. But the Bible says they showed them no little kindness. Amen. It's where we get our word philanthropy. In Greek, it means a love of mankind. It is a kind of love that reaches out in a special kindness. In Matthew 19:19, Matthew 22:39, Mark 12:31, Romans 13:9, Galatians 5:14, and James 2:8. Here's the key thought. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you're saved by God's grace and somebody shows up at your church or at your door or somewhere in the community, listen, we're to show them no little kindness. We're to have that love that reaches out and shows them the love of God. How in the world do we expect folks to get saved and come to Lord Jesus Christ when children of God are the drop-down lip, bad-mouth the church, don't have a thing to do with God's people? How do we expect anybody to get anything from God, from God's people, if we don't reach out in love and care and show them no little kindness and a hope there is in being a child of God? I've got something today that the world needs. I didn't earn it. I didn't get it. But oh, may God help me and be able to live it. May I be able, one of those people, be able to stick out a hand and say hello, smile at somebody. Somebody just needs a smile. Good grief, you've been to Walmart, they're grabbing because nothing's on the shelf. They're grabbing, give them a smile and say, hey, it's all right. It'll be okay. Why? Because God knows what you have need. Just trust the Lord in it. Hey, they showed them no little kindness. And the Bible said that they kindled them a fire. Amen. It's a place of refuge. It's a place of kindness. It was a place of a fire. The word kindle, of course, means to start, means to cause a fire. Now, you just imagine this for a moment. Most of you all, or some of you at least, been at a cookout somewhere, and they have a little fire pit gathered around it. You gather 10 or 12 around that little fire pit, and you ain't got no room left. Yeah. Amen. Unless you've got one of them great big ones, and praise the Lord, invite me, and I'll eat barbecue with you. Amen. A little small thing. There's 276 people come off of that ship. The Bible said these barbarous people showed them a little kindness and they kindled a fire. You imagine how big that fire had to be to get 276 people around that fire. Amen. It's one of them bonfires, brother. It's one of them big old huge fires. They build a fire that they get around. How big is your fire? How big is your fire? Listen, there are a lot of people who need to feel the presence of God in your life, feel the love of God in your life, and we need to kindle a fire big enough that they understand there's importance about being around the fire. How big is your fire today? How big is the fire in your church, Pastor? How big a fire you got going on in the house of God on Sunday morning? Listen, if it really actually burnt down, buddy, everybody in the world would talk about it. But is there enough fire from God in the house of God on Sunday morning that the community knows what's something happening down there at the church? Amen. It was funny. We had our services outside for a while on a big old trailer raised up and had speakers. They said, you hear it from a mile away. I said, praise the Lord. Somebody heard preaching, probably never heard in a long time. But you're inside the church now. Can they still hear you? I ain't talking about a speaker. Can they still see the presence of God in the house of the Lord? I used to pray and still pray there at Oxford Memorial when I pastored the church here in town, Beulah Baptist Church. I'd pray anybody ride by the road, the Holy Ghost, I would get in the car with them as they went by. And I ain't talking about just on Sunday either. I want every day of the week. And when they come by the house of God, there needs to be a fire there. And they need to know the presence of God is real in that fire. Amen. It's the place of a fire. They know a small fire. They were strangers that built the fire. You know what? Now, they mentioned last night camp meeting was started in 1963. Guess why? There was a fire in somebody's heart. Amen. When your church that you're pastoring today or you're attending today, somebody had a fire in their heart to start a church. Amen. Where's that same fire at today? Amen. You know what happens when you forget to put wood on the fire? Fire burn out. We used to burn a wood stove when I was growing up. And man alive, whew, daddy stoke that thing full and go to bed and you'll be sweating. By 4 or 5 in the morning, you'll be freezing to death. Amen. Until you got some more wood on the fire. Amen. And the importance of a fire, it was a place of visitation. But listen, it's the place of the viper. It's the practice of the viper real quickly. Look at it. The Bible said Paul went and gathered a bundle of sticks. 276 people gathered around there. And, of course, the Lord mentions in the book of Acts here that Paul went and gathered them. Now, listen, Paul was just as wet and cold as everybody else was. Paul had been on the same ship everybody else was. If I help some church members today, don't leave your pastor out to dry, buddy. He's in the same storm you're in. He's facing the same challenges you're facing. He's just a sinner saved by grace on a journey to heaven. He ain't no different, no better than anybody else. He's just a sinner that God's called to preach the word of God. He's been in the same storms, the same thing. But yet here's Paul in the midst of that storm. What does Paul do? Well, I guess he could have just went up there by the fire and said, well, I'm just going to stay here. Paul said he's going to go out and he gathered himself a bundle of sticks. Men of God, can I help us this morning? If you ain't going to do anything, why are you expecting your church members to do anything? If you're not going to go out and gather some sticks and you ain't going to go out and try to help the fire going in your community and in your church, why are we expecting everybody else in the church to do it? Amen. We are all responsible as God's children to go out with a fire in our heart and witness to the lost and dying world and a dark world, and they need God's people and don't depend on the pastor to be the only one that goes and does it. Amen. Amen. We had a place of a fire, practice of the viper. Paul was laboring, went out and got the sticks. And many believe there in the Bible says that when Paul had gathered, verse 3, and Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, they came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. So we find many believe, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but many believe that when Paul picked up that bundle of sticks that he gathered up, and that viper was inside those bundle of sticks that he carried. Amen. I ain't going to argue with you. I tend to believe that be the case myself. But anyway, so he's carrying that bundle of sticks. And the Bible talks about that he put the sticks on the fire. And there came a viper out of the heat. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. You think about this for a second. That old viper was just fine away from the fire. He's just fine with you as long as you don't get near the fire. He'll leave you alone. He'll lay real still and not bother you one little bit if you'll stay away from the fire. But you get near the fire, and old Satan don't like it. Paul went and gathered a bundle of sticks, brought them back, put them on the fire. I got to thinking about this again. Listen, y'all, I don't know what your church is like, but I know a church is a church, and we all got dead dry people in them. Amen. You can be holding my mouth if you want to. We all got them in there. Listen, there are a lot of folks like that in here. What do they need, preacher? They need a fire. They need a fire. Why, preacher? Because that viper is fine with them out there, but they need something to warm them up in this life, in a spiritual way. Amen. They had a fire. There they were there. Listen, there's folks all around. You try to do something, folks are going to discourage you. Amen. I'm going to tell him, Brother John Lancaster. It's been several years ago now, and I'm living proof of it, Brother John. I picked up a small, thin-line Bible in the back of the fellowship hall. I was going to buy that Bible, real small print in it. Brother John looked at me and said, Brother, you ain't going to need that long. He said, why not? Because you ain't going to be able to see it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That was real encouraging, wasn't it? Amen, Brother John. Thank you. I don't tell on you some more. What are you saying, bro? You're going to find people all the time going to find something to discourage you about. Amen. Well, it's going to be losing your sight and you can't see the Bibles. You got large print. Hey, it's going to happen. Somebody's going to discourage you. I want to tell you this morning, it ain't time to be discouraged. It ain't time to be discouraged. I know the world's in a mess. And guess what? The world's been in a mess before COVID hit and before Biden become president, before Trump was president. It don't matter. The world's always been in a mess. Why, preacher? Because sin. It's going to be in a mess till the Lord comes back and calls the church out of here, and then it's still going to be a mess until they all get face the judgment seat of Christ. It's a mess. We know that. No doubt about that this morning. Listen, look what Paul did. The Bible said in verse 5, the venomous beast got home, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Whoa, my goodness, this morning. You think about that. Paul was there near the fire. Paul had a desire to keep the fire burning. And he was able to shake off that venomous beast. Amen. Oh, my goodness, church. You need to get close to the fire. Yeah. Amen. Hey, say, preacher, there ain't no fire where I'm at. Well, then start one. Yeah. Yes, amen. I say, preacher, we ain't got that around our place. Well, then you need to start it then. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Get you a fire started. And then guess what? Keep adding sticks to the fire. Just keep on adding sticks to the fire. Say, preacher, ain't nobody adding sticks. Then, all right, then you keep adding sticks till somebody gets the idea, and they add some sticks to the fire. Bible says Paul was close to the fire. He was next to the fire where the warmth and the venomous beast came out. Listen, when you start doing something for God and you start living for the Lord like you're supposed to, the venomous beast, that old serpent himself, is not going to like it, and he's probably going to snap out of the fire somewhere and try to latch on to you and pull you away from the things of God. Paul was close enough to the fire, all he had to do is, what did he do? He shook it off in the fire. Some of you need to show up at church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night so you can get shake off the beast because you're faithful to the house of God. Amen. You come on Sunday morning, think you get enough, and then when the serpent comes out on you on Sunday night and you ain't been to church on Sunday night, or it comes out on Thursday morning and you ain't been close enough to the fire yet. You won't know why all this is happening in your life. Listen, I can't tell you all that's going on in your life, but I can tell you this. The closer you are to the fire, the better off you are. Amen. Amen. I believe it was my brother-in-law told this story one time. I might have been Preacher Neil. I'm not real sure. Can't remember right this minute. But it was talking about when he was getting a whipping from his daddy. He talks about, you know, he'd get a hold of his hand. He'd try to run from him. Man, you think about their arms. He said, I realized if I got real close to him and got to hugging on his leg. Couldn't get to him as good. Can I help you this morning? The closer you are to God, the closer you are to the Holy Spirit of God and living God's word and in his will this morning, if something does come along, the whipping's a whole lot easier. Do we make mistakes in life? Every one of us do. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Understand that. Thanks be to God for the love of the Father and that. Now look, the latching of the viper, the looking of Paul, looking of the people. The people said in verse 4 that he should have died. This man's a murderer. He should be dead by now. He should have swollen up. And then in verse 6 it said he changed their minds. Yeah. He's a god now. Yes, sir. My goodness, he's gone from being a murderer to a god. Amen. Now I know you wouldn't do anything like this. Somebody in your church, something happened to them, and immediately you start looking at them going, what'd they do wrong? I wonder what sin's in their life that's causing them to have this storm in their life. You don't know that. You have no idea what they're going through. You don't know why God's doing it. God might be getting them ready for some great service, a great work, and just trying to test them through the water. Amen. A child of God should never look down their nose at anybody else because of what they're going through. Because the Lord is faithful and just to forgive them if it is sin, and they can get right with God. Pray for them. Amen. We find here they had the storm there that came up. Man, there was in a mess. And Paul got bit by the viper. They expected him to die. He didn't die. Matter of fact, nothing happened to him. I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing but God can do that. Ain't nothing but God can do something like that. Paul was faithful to put sticks on the fire. Brother Steve, can I say thank you? Keep putting sticks on the fire. Hey man, Camp Meeting's always put a sticks on the fire in my life. Always been a blessing. Men of God that are preaching, keep putting sticks on the fire. Every chance you get, just come loaded with some sticks in your back pocket, front pocket, where you need to put them at. Bring the sticks, buddy, and put them on the fire. It'd do you good this morning. Some of you need to get close to the fire. Some of you need to get around the fire. And then some of you need to go gather some sticks yourself. Amen. Sticks on the fire. Are you going to be faithful this morning to put some sticks on the fire? Keep it going. Church, Lord, we need sticks on the fire. You think about it. Day in, day out. Folks all around us, cold and wet. Been in storms, buddy, all through life. And they need somebody to have a fire for them. Sunday morning, when you show up at church, no doubt somebody's going to need a fire. Man of God, kindle a fire. Hey man, get a fire started. If it's been a while since you've had a fire, I am all about shouting and praising. That just blesses my heart, and the Lord touches me. I'll not miss a beat. I'll join in with you. Hey man, I don't mind that a bit. But oh my goodness, bring some sticks to the fire. They don't need to hear stories. They don't need to hear a big drawn out soap opera box. They just need to hear the word of God. Amen. Put some sticks on the fire. Yes, amen. Thank you, preacher. Amen. Bless your heart.